Psalm 142, a plea for relief from persecutors, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. There seems to be deeply ingrained in most people an admiration for the hero who is willing to stand up for what is right, even if no one else is willing to stand up for what is right. At the same time, most people are not willing to pay the price to be that hero. When I was a young boy, I can remember a man coming to our house with the intent of doing business with my father. My father was a township commissioner. That's right, he was literally Commissioner Gordon. And he had the habit of getting in the way of respectable crooks in our township. The man who came to our house was a builder, and my father was making things difficult for this man, who, if you had not guessed it, was not an honest businessman. After the dishonest builder arrived, I remember him pulling out his wallet with the intent of giving my father a bribe. Dad told him to put away his wallet, but the visitor proceeded to say that every man has his price. Dad let him know that he was trying to bribe a man who did not have a price. The dishonest builder then proceeded to threaten to kill my father, making it very clear that he had the power and the ability to do so. I do not know whether my father or the crook ever saw me, as I had stopped part of the way down the steps that went from the second story to the first story of our home, but I saw them. Our township had dishonest policemen, dishonest commissioners, dishonest businessmen, and a lot of citizens who either did not care or were the beneficiaries of the culture of crime that I grew up in. Our township also had an honest commissioner, and while he often had to fight a lonely battle, often by himself, on the behalf of citizens who often did not care, he also had a son who did care and who never forgot that day. It can be a lonely life being an honest public servant in a community where wrong is right and right is wrong. Imagine being the prophet Jeremiah. All Jeremiah had to do was obey God and suffer for it. It seems that there were many times when Jeremiah cried out to God and complained about the citizens of Judah and their leaders. How many times do you think that the spirit of Jeremiah was overwhelmed within him? Certainly David, the author of this psalm, knew what it was like to cry out to God and pour out his complaints before God. King Saul was supposed to be David's friend. King Saul was supposed to be his king and his covenant representative before Jehovah. King Saul was supposed to fight against evil and for good. King Saul was supposed to be David's leader and protector. But instead of being David's friend, King Saul was his enemy. Instead of being a godly king, Saul was a covenant-breaking king. Instead of fighting against evil and for good, King Saul was too often evil himself. And instead of being David's leader and protector, King Saul sought to destroy David. Is it any wonder that David talked of having no escape? Is it any wonder that David said that his persecutors were too strong for him? Is it any wonder that David talks about his soul being in prison? Is there any hope for David? To whom does David pour out his complaint? To whom does David make his supplication? To whom does David declare his trouble? What is the answer to those questions? The answer is God, the one who will listen to David's prayer and deal bountifully with him. God knew David's path. For that matter, he had planned the path. Saul may have thought that he had everything all planned out. But go ahead, Saul. Plan all you want. But remember, Saul, David is being protected by the one who planned and built the whole universe. Take your best shot, Saul. In the end, you will look foolish and stupid. Taking on God is not the best decision that a man can make. Thinking back to the story about my father, do you think that the dishonest builder knew what a positive impact that incident would have on a young boy's life? Do you think that Saul had any idea how God would use Saul's sinfulness to be an encouragement to David and to millions of godly covenant keepers in the future? Man planned it for evil. God planned it for good. God used it for good. Many years after Saul repeatedly was defeated in his quest to destroy David, a man who was descended from David came to this earth. His name was Jesus. Unlike David, who was a great man and a sinner, Jesus was a great man who never sinned. And while he never sinned, religious leaders tried to trap him and sought to kill him, and eventually did kill him. And through it all, Jesus depended on his heavenly Father. Jesus knew what it was like to have his spirit overwhelmed within him when his heavenly Father punished him on the cross. But through it all, he still depended on his heavenly Father, even as his heavenly Father punished him for sins that he did not commit. Enemies of Jesus may have been thinking wrong thoughts and having an excellent time, a very, very good time. But while they may have planned the demise of Jesus like King Saul, they were up against the planner of the universe. Jesus will be protected by the God who planned and built the whole universe. For that matter, how foolish can you get, religious leaders? Jesus himself was in on the planning, and not just the planning of the universe, but even the planning of his very own death. Take your best shot, religious leaders. In the end, you will look foolish and stupid. Taking on God is not the best decision that men can make. Do you think that these religious leaders had any idea how God would use their sinfulness to be not only an encouragement to millions, but to be also used to save those very same millions as well? Man planned it for evil. God used it for good. If you are a born-again Christian, no matter how many evil people are against you, and no matter how much evil is thrown at you, remember this: God plans it for evil. God uses it for good. Man plans it for evil. God uses it for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the man who penned these words was a man who had persecuted Christians and had made plans to persecute even more. Saul had made his evil plans, and God used them for good. Except this time, not only would a man by the name of Saul be defeated, he would also be converted and know the three plan makers for the very first time. This holy trio of plan makers, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, not only have been able to plan how all things will work together for good to them that love God, they have also been willing and able to take evil plan makers such as Saul of Tarsus and transform them into godly servants of His. Man makes evil plans. God uses them for good.